everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screen Podcast, brought to you by ProvenGamer.com. I am your host, Stephen Fontana. With me is, as always, is Andy Azimakis. How you doing, Andy?
Always here, always present.
Always here, ever present. And when you're not here, I will figure that out.
And I am not wearing pants.
No pants. No pants for at pants guy. That's foreboding. Nintendo Dual Screen is a Nintendo podcast for ProvenGamer.com. We are also eventually going to be making this into a YouTube show. So if you are watching this on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe, like, all that stuff. It may definitely is not going to be up by the time the audio goes out, but that's because there's a lot of learning going on right now. I am learning to edit on a completely new setup than I ever have before, so it's taking me a little bit longer. I need to get some graphics and stuff like that, so it's taking a little bit longer than I would like. But we have a great show for you this week. This is episode 3, Nintendo Dual Screen episode 3. It's exciting that we've gotten this far. We have finally published episode 1 and 2. They went kind of in the same day, so you're getting a ton of show in the same week. But that's all right. It works out. We have a lot to discuss. The Hype Zone will return this week. The Hype Zone so is excited. Going to be. I know you are, because that's
your
baby.
Don't hype it yet. Don't hype it. Don't worry. We'll get
there. We're not going to hype the Hype Zone just yet.
It doesn't need hype. It's in the name.
We're going to be talking about a bunch of things. There's a possible and then possibly debunked Smash Brothers leak for Switch, so that's cool. We have a little bit of both of that coin. We would also like to discuss the ARMS test punch in the show. So we have, and of course, we're going to talk about our retro game of the week. So there is a lot to talk about. So with that being said, we are going to start with a Nintendo news report, and here's your reporter, Andy.
Hey, away we go. So first things first, all you would-be Switch owners out there, got some good news coming your way. They're going to amp up the production of the Switches. So yay!
Woohoo!
You'll finally get to buy one, maybe, hopefully, by the holiday season. So according to Nintendo, they're going to up their production to hopefully crank out 18 million more by March of next year to quote-unquote... one second, hold on here. One moment, Tito. Yes. They're worried about customer tantrums during the holiday season. So,
they are not wrong.
Hopefully, Nintendo can squelch your fears and get a Switch in your hands by the holiday. And if not, just go buy a PS4. All right.
I don't know if you picked this up today, but there was also in the news that one of the issues that they're having is some of the chips or some part of the Switch that they are getting... they are getting from the same manufacturer that manufactures iPhone stuff. So they have competition as far as how long they're going to get to manufacture the chips for them. So they've been trying to work with those manufacturers to try and get more chips from your $1 an hour laborers, from the children of you know, Shanghai or wherever that stuff's coming from.
Who don't have a Switch, unfortunately, those poor kids.
Yeah, no, they don't. Maybe they just pop one off the line. I don't know. What else you got?
All right. Well,
this is actually good news. This is really good news. The whole upping the production. I don't want to poo poo on.
Oh yeah,
that
not poo poo.
It is.
You and I got ours fairly early on. You know, mine was a launch date. Yours was around the same time or a little bit further
as well.
Down.
Yes.
Yeah,
It was launch day.
So
yep.
We don't know what it's like to be without a Nintendo Switch in our lives. So for those who are out there who can't afford the inflated prices on eBay or Amazon.com, just a little patience and you'll get yours hopefully by Christmas. Or maybe Black or Black Friday, hopefully. You know, God willing.
Well, if they're saying 18 million more, that's obvious. That's going to be worldwide. I believe. What's the number for North America now? It's got to be almost 2 million, right? For North America,
no, I think the North American was it 5 million total. So yeah, so maybe 2 million for North America.
I think it was 2 million, if I remember correctly. So you assume if that's 2 million out of 5 million, you're looking at maybe another 7 million Switches in the United States and North America and the Canada and all that stuff. So, you know, 7 or 8 million. So, you know, it's they're lofty goals for you know, Nintendo. I mean, we know what they like to do. But I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. So just bottom line, like, set your Google alerts on your favorite shopping sites and make sure you snag it up before it goes away for the second time around until next year.
By the way, I did skip the releases of the week this week because we covered an exhaustive amount of releases last week, and there were only two. There were only two new games that came out or coming out this week that I feel. And Farming Simulator for 3DS is one of them. So, I mean, look to last week's episode if you're looking for something to buy. So, anyway, continuing
all,
on
all the good work. So third episode strong. Like, you know what? Go back and hear the old one. It's fine.
we covered 2.5 already. Weeks of really
doing that shit again. So we have a series of leak news. I see in our little on our docket here. So I'm going to bypass number two, and we'll lock it with the other leak together.
Excellent. I think
The other one is a little bit less exciting than this one that we're going to discuss after that.
Okay, so I agree.
Let's jump to Sonic Mania coming on August 15th for $20. Really cheap price for Sega. And so, by the way, this game, between this and Sonic Forces, I'm going to go with Sonic Mania as turn what I'm going to be purchasing. Cause,
that seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
I speak to you know, a bunch of people on Facebook through in various Nintendo, like, and video game Facebook pages, including our own, which, if you would like to be a part of our community, my goal is to get our Facebook group to 500 members by the end of the year. And I really think we can do it. I know that the Trophy Horrors, which has been around for years, has almost 300, but I really think we could get to 500 because the Switch is brand new and you know, there's a little fever around it. We're already at 25, so I believe.
So much pressure, Steve.
There's a lot of pressure, but there's a half a year to go. So I think we can do it. So anyway, yes. So anyway, I was talking to a friend and he's super excited. But I can't allow myself to give Sega any money for Sonic games. I just can't allow it. Like, The older games, I could admit that they were fun, but I can't admit that they were good. The actual game design of going fast but then having obstacles in your way were completely counterproductive. It was go really fast, oh wait, there's a spring that's going to shoot you into spikes, or go really fast, oh wait, there's a pit, or go really fast, oh wait, there's an enemy.
Here's a platform to jump over.
Yeah, it's like, okay, do you want me to go fast? I always found that I was better at the game if I went slow or if I memorized the level and then you could go as fast as you can. It's basically like speedrunning. The speedrunning community really likes Sonic games. But since the 2006 Sonic game, which I think was just called Sonic the Hedgehog for PS3, like around whatever that time, I think it was 2006.
Sonic 06, yeah, it was...
It was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful.
That's like the garbage level tier of Sonic releases.
Yeah, and a friend of mine, you know, he was messing around with that the Wii one. I forget what it was called.
Sonic Colors
Knights or
something. Sonic Colors. That's what it was. I think there was like a weird. He was like a he had to save a princess. Was that what he was? Like,
yes.
Was he a werewolf in that one? A werehedgehog? Was that the same?
Yeah,
one?
I think so. I think that was the one. I don't know. Anyway, yes, it was because the levels where you were actually just on a track and like going really fast, those were actually good. But then it would like make you run around and brawl as a werewolf. It was terrible. Anyway, so I personally don't trust to give Sega my money, but I will wait. I will wait for the reviews, unless of course I get assigned that. Please, please, Tricky, do not assign Sonic Mania to me. but if I do get assigned it, I will review.
I volunteer as tribute.
I volunteer as tribute. That's good. All right, good. So you'll let me know if it's any good. Yeah.
It's a weird thing with Sonic because I feel like as for the fans, you have very distinct and polarizing fandoms. You have those who adore like the classic Sega Genesis 16-bit 1-3 Sonic and Knuckles era of Sonic the Hedgehog.
True.
Then you have those who basically think Sonic Adventure 2 is God's gift to gaming, let alone Sonic, but all of gaming as a whole. Mm. Then you have those fans who think the 3D era games, which include the werewolf bullshit, Sonic Boom, which is also garbage. Sonic Colors is actually not a bad game, but those section of games are the better of the whole Sonic franchise. So it's a weird thing. You have Sega trying to basically make each camp happy. We have a game now for the 2D fans, and we have the Sonic Forces for like the 3D era fandom / DeviantArt.
Forces does not look good, but no, whatever.
I don't care. But I mean, as far as Mania goes, I feel like with the whole they've embraced like fans, like it's fan gamers, like gamers who make fan games, and they've hired them to make this game on their behalf with like other folks as well. So it's interesting seeing like, okay, you guys do it for us. We don't know what the fuck we're doing anymore. So
it must cost them nothing to make this game, because if they're putting it out for $20, I mean,
yeah. And it looks
really
good.
That's August 15th, yeah? Yes. Yeah, August 15th.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So that's off of Sonic for a while. It's weird seeing Sonic
on
a Nintendo system. I can't get over that. I mean, it's been years.
Hopefully.
It's been multi-platform, but still.
Hopefully he doesn't come around again until August 15th or 16th on this show. Stay away from me, Sonic.
All right. So in terms of other releases, we have... This one caught me off guard. River City Rivals Showdown. Coming to North America for a 3DS.
Yeah, I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming, so that's good. Those are fun little games. They're fun games. They're well made.
When I first read this, I thought it was there was a Kickstarter game called River City Ransom Underground that was released earlier this year for Steam, and I think PS4 and Xbox One as well.
Mm.
And I was like, wait, this is not. This is another set of games in the same universe or the same franchise, but that's being made by like the proper developers themselves, not a bunch of fans who license the property from the IP owners.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so more River City Ransom coming our way. Great. And these are old games. They've been out for a while, I guess, in Japan. And they're coming over here.
They do fairly well as far as I remember, like when they do get released here. You know, they're fun. They're beat 'em ups. They're like, you know, Double Dragon type stuff. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then we have a game called Indivisible, which I didn't hear about until just now. I'm like, okay, what's this cute little game coming to Switch? And apparently, I'm scrolling down my little news feed here.
The gangs are getting...
It's Jason! Jason Voorhees!
The gang violence is here.
It's a Sonic fan.
My neighborhood, for some reason, just loves to light fireworks off. I can't explain it, but I do apologize if that's picked up in the mic.
On your door.
It's that loud, huh? Wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I
was like, you're about to get mugged right now on stream. You're being swatted, Steven.
Well, luckily, good thing I have two cameras going, so it'll all be caught somewhere.
All right. So back to Indivisible. It looks like a really cute 2D platformer, side-scroller jam going on.
I threw it in the news there because it looked like it would fit at home on the Switch. I feel like it just fits that style, I guess would be the word. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I think with game, just to go back to Sonic Mania, I feel like games like this, I would buy, if they're multi-platform, I'd buy them for the Switch.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
On the go aspect.
As much as I love my, you know, the feeling of getting a trophy on PlayStation, I have a long time ago given up that fight to try and get platinums, because I am just not good at games. So, I don't bother anymore.
Trophy whores.
Yes, indeed. All right. We also, when we were talking about releases before, I threw in a couple of links because apparently there's a bunch of stuff of like a release schedule coming out. But if you want to, go over those, there's like a Europe list and
a North American list. It's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
We can put a link in the description or some shit like that if you want.
I guess what you can do, just go over like what the list is, just say where it's from, and we'll let everybody else do their own investigative journalism.
Yeah, so Nintendo download for Europe. We have
The download, yep.
Some fun games coming out, like Aka Neo Geo Last Resort.
Yeah, sure, sure, yeah, yeah. It's, we spoke about that last week, I believe.
And, you know, Astro Duel Deluxe. I mean,
yes, yeah, yeah, we spoke about that too. Yeah, so it's just a drop of what's coming out. I think Bond's
Revenge for Wii U.
There you go. Console. I think what I'm going to do from now on.
The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I think what I'm going to do from now, because we record on Wednesdays or Thursdays, I think these lists come out on. They come out on Wednesdays, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, I will put this in the releases for the week just to get that over with. But I thought it was interesting because they both kind of dropped the same time, and I haven't been knee deep into Nintendo news in a long time, and now that I'm doing this show, I've immersed myself even further, and this caught my eye because it was back to back. Like, here's what's coming out. Digital. I guess they're digital releases, that download releases. So
yeah.
Hopefully, once we get the virtual console, that list will get much more palatable.
I agree. So let's move on from that.
Let's get the hell away from those.
Let's get to some real, like, juicy tidbits now.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
The stuff we've been waiting to talk about. These leaks.
Mm-hmm.
This deluge of information that came out recently. So, Fire Emblem Warriors 2 is a thing, apparently.
Yes, it's a thing.
Very excited. Actually, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I don't care a lot about Fire Emblem. I didn't care much about Hyrule Warriors, because I got it for 3DS, which is not that great, apparently. But we have Fire Emblem Warrior details, and yeah.
What I remember of the first one was that it has the Fire Emblem, I guess, feel to it, like the world and the characters and everything like that. But it is a Warriors game, and you know what you're getting, I guess. It wasn't as endearing, I guess. I don't know if that's the word, but it wasn't maybe as good or whatever as the Dragon Quest Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's because Dragon Quest may have a more quirky, recognizable world. But yeah, I mean, Fire Emblem Warriors, I mean, there it is. It's going to happen at some point. What platform was that leaked for?
For Switch, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I believe it was Switch. But...
to Switch. Anyway.
Switch is getting them games.
It's boring. It's boring news. I want some real rumors, some real leaks, quote unquote.
Well, you're not getting that from the next one.
Well, it was supposed to be real. they took it away from us, Steven.
They pulled the rug out from under us.
All right, so there was evidence. Of course, it came from 4chan.
Of course.
Surprise there. That there was an apparent Smash Brothers Switch leak. That looked kind of authentic for a little bit. Not gonna lie.
It looked shiny. It looked shiny enough. Version. Yeah.
It's probably on Unreal 4.
The thing that confused me is the four-way split screen where everyone's on a different level. I was like,
yeah,
what the hell is that?
What are you trying to do with that? Like, I mean, if you're trying to look like passive as real, what does that prove? It just looks bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a strange. I mean, and there was right before recording. I guess the person that made that came out and said they made it. I don't know, some YouTuber. I don't pay attention to that stuff. It's to be honest with you, this should have been in the hype zone.
Yeah, maybe, but I think our actual hype zone is way hypier than this one.
Ooh, get pumped!
Not gonna lie, this is the big one. Steven, let me say this. If it was confirmed that we were getting a Smash Brothers Switch game, this would still blow that out of the water in terms of hype.
Boys and girls, we need you to be sitting down. If you are standing on a public transportation, a bus maybe, if you are on a train or the Muni, if you're in San Francisco, if you're on the People Mover over in Miami... wherever you are, if you're going to the bathroom on your airplane, I need you to get back to your seat, because what is about to hit your ear holes and eventually your eye holes, balls, whatever,
balls, both ear and eye,
your ocular nerves is going to absolutely floor you. You are about to enter the hype zone. Get hyped!
You know what? Let's commission an actual hype zone theme.
Yes, if you okay, so if you're out there and you want to make a hype zone theme, you could send that to us at NDS at provinggamer.com. NDS as a Nintendo dual screen at provinggamer.com. I might have to, you're right, I might have to commission something for the hype zone. Yeah,
like the hypiest hypey theme you can think of.
And this is the long, this is the long awaited return of the hype zone. Because it went a whole episode where we completely forgot about the hype zone. So you don't forget about the hype zone.
We've hyped our own hype zone. So we're hyping this news by not talking about it yet. Building the hype.
Right. We are hyping the hype zone.
And then now, the hype zone is being hyped at the same time.
Right. So why don't you take us to the hype zone and show us what's up.
God, Steven. Just released. Brand new, fresh off the whatever the fuck news. We are getting. I'm so hyped. I can't even talk properly. I'm so hyped. We are getting a brand new Link amiibo. The pre-order is out on the UK store for Nintendo.
And probably gone.
It's gone. It is that hype. It is so it hype. Is
way. It's not even you there need. If you have no, you don't understand. This amiibo is going to change lives.
Yes.
Because this amiibo, I don't know what it unlocks in Breath of the Wild. I'm sure it unlocks something.
The cure for cancer. That's what it unlocks.
It might give you unlimited arrows, maybe, or it might. I don't know. Maybe it'll make you play as Linkle.
Maybe. Hopefully. I don't know.
But if you're not hype for some new Link amiibos, wasn't it a set? Is it a set of Link amiibo?
It's a set, yes. That's the kind of hype we're talking about.
Do you understand? They didn't say, "Hey, we're going to give you a new Link amiibo." No, they were like, "We're not going to give you one. We're not going to give you two, because that's suckers. And two is for two suckers. It's as if you were both like Andy and I,
as many suckers,
that were both suckers is what they're saying. Yeah. However, they are saying we are going to get a set of three new." The Legend of Zelda amiibo.
Do you not understand how much of a bombshell this news is? It's a Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, and a Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
This is unprecedented.
Like, I mean, I remember when, a lot of things have happened in the video game industry, but in order to get in the hype zone, you have to be of the upper echelon of video gaming breaking news and huge news. When this dropped, I immediately put it in the hype zone because, really, honestly, is there any other zone it should be in? Should it be in the neutral zone? No. I don't think so.
They should make 18 million of these things. Fuck the Switches. Just make 18 million amiibos and sell those.
Mm. I happen to agree with you. Yeah. Well, that takes us out of the hype zone. We can now calm down.
We can now
relax. Take your pump. Take your pump.
Sure,
relax.
Take your pump.
Change your shirt, because I'm sure you're sweating through it. Yeah. We've made it through the hype zone.
Yeah.
We're now going to go into our topic of discussion.
Oh my God.
This week's topic of discussion, over the weekend, we got to briefly, ever so fleetingly, join the ARMS test punch. I just wanted to briefly go over our thoughts on the test punch. It was this weekend for North America got the extra day, right? North America got Friday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Friday was the day that I had the most time to play. It was when I was – actually, no, that's not true. Friday, I forgot. And then everybody was saying, hey, get in there. And I got in there just in time for it to end. But I played on Saturday for the whole test punch. Tried out a couple of characters. They had a couple of game modes. So they had – you were able to play a 1v1, a 2v2, a 1v1v1. Those are the three regular modes. And then V-Ball. those are the modes I was able to play. I don't know if there were any others, because by the time I was done with that, I was kicked out. So anyway,
yeah.
What are your thoughts? I know you played it a little bit. What did you think?
So I knew going in that it would be a fun game from all the trailers and gameplay footage I've seen in the past. But I didn't think it would be this much fun.
Mm.
Just like the whole, like, the versus component, like, set aside the V-ball modes and the other extra modes themselves. I had a lot of fun just playing the standard, like, fighting aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yep.
It's also, like, not for nothing, it's a gorgeous looking game. Like, it's really sexy to look at.
Yeah, I think so. I think it looks great. I mean, it's not like mind blowing, but it does what it's doing. The visuals that it's presenting are crisp. Mm-hmm. They're polished. It's a game that's ready to come out.
Yeah.
Right now, they're obviously just doing some stress testing of their servers. They get as many people as possible on in an hour. That's why these things are so short. They're like, I think this one clocked in at 70 minutes. On Saturday, I think they gave the extra 10 minutes. It could have just been because I was in a match. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they're definitely stress testing. And supposedly next weekend, they are going to be doing different modes for the test punch. Like, they're going to do the basketball, the slam, the basketball one.
Yeah.
That's going to be in there. I agree with you. It was fun. That was the main takeaway was, hey, this doesn't piss me off. Even though half of the players were being cheap as hell with the grabbing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really bad. If there's one takeaway I had from this, is that they need to balance that. They need to give a cooldown timer, or, you know, some people saying, oh, all you have to do is punch it and it goes away. Well, these people were timing it where they would pick me up and throw me, and as the animation of me was getting up, they were already starting their next grab. So I would stand vertical and they would grab me again. There should be either a way that when you're grabbed and they're pulling you towards them, that you could do like a quick reversal button, like just a quick prompt, maybe like the screen flashes or like your character flashes at the right moment that you could hit, where you could kick off of the person and then and then go back to neutral. Or when you grab somebody, there's like a 3 to 5 second cooldown of the grabbing.
I like the cooldown idea. I think it needs
they throw their hands, they grab you, they throw you, and then if they try and do it again, their hands go out like halfway and then just fall limp.
Oh, they like flail about, yeah. Like,
they just kind of, like running out of stamina as in like the WWE SmackDown games back in the day. In the middle of a punch, you just go, guy has a stroke and flops on the ring. Obscure reference that only half the people will get, I'm sure. but that was the main takeaway. It was that I had fun. I didn't back out the whole time. I didn't say, this isn't for me or whatever. And typically, those types of games aren't for me. I don't like competitive games very often because I don't find I have the time to invest into being good enough to be in those types of communities. Mm-hmm. But what it felt to me was you had kids over there flailing around with their arms. You had some people trying to figure out like the minutia of the movements and everything like that. I didn't try motion control. I'm going to try that the next one. But what I found myself doing was looking at how like you can curve the arms and how you could put together a couple I would use a light and a medium or a light and a heavy on the punches. And I would see how I can mix those together, and it was just there were a lot of permutations that I got to mess around with in that hour that made me feel like it was accessible to me.
We discussed like the level of depth in this game, given like how you can mix and match like your gloves and what have you,
right?
See, having it like in my hands and playing it for the first time, it's amazing how much you can possibly do with all these characters and all the different combinations of gloves and skill sets
and the modes. Like it's not even just the gloves, but when the way it popped up was I guess this is how the game is going to be when you're playing online, but it's kind of puts a bunch of people in a room and they're kind of moving around and they randomly get paired up into these different types of matches. So one person might be in a triple threat match, And the other person might be in a V-ball match, and then the other four people are in a 2v2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're constantly trying to figure out, okay, so now I'm in a 2v2. I see he's picking a medium and a strong. I'm going to go two light fists because I need to be able to throw some quick jabs if he's getting, you know, knocked around, or if his punches are too. So, like, there's a lot of strategy there. And the characters, using the characters, I think I only used three. I feel like I used Mr. Little Mac Squiggly Arms. I used Spaghetti Girl.
Spaghetti Girl.
And is that her real name? I don't even know. Spaghetti Girl or Ramen Noodle Girl. And I used the Curly Ninja Guy. Got and
it. I used the Gumby.
Okay.
And the Mummy characters, when I recall.
The Mummy guys.
Yeah, Mummy Guy.
My favorite was the ninja, because he could shift ever so slightly. So when people were trying to grab me, he was the best character to avoid it. And you could kind of spam the shifting around, which I think should also be balanced. There just should be a stamina when you're using something special like a grab or their special type of like a double jump or something. There should just be something to make it so that you can't completely exploit. Because if you don't have the proper rock paper scissor matchup, if you're not on the top end of the rock paper scissor, you're like, I got my ass handed to me when I was the ninja dude against the Spaghetti Girl. For whatever reason, I think it was Spaghetti Girl, because she kind of hung up in the air a little bit longer than I was expecting. So as I'm shifting out of the way, she's still able to be above me.
Yeah,
where I think she would be dropping down. So she was kind of flopping around up there, and I got my butt whooped. But V-ball was a lot of fun. I don't understand how you, there was one guy I versed that was spinning the ball somehow. Like, he would hit it and it would go up in the air and spin, like a globe. And then when I would go to punch it, it would like go backwards or something. It would like spin off my hand. I don't know how to do that. I only got to play one V-ball match.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a lot of fun from what I played. Oh, no, that's not true. I played two because I won my first one. The second one was when this guy was spinning the ball. And I was like, what is going on?
How was your connection while you were playing?
I never got booted. Yeah, I never got booted until it was over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sat in my living room and, yeah, I didn't have any problems. None of my friends had problems. The only thing that sucked is that you couldn't seek out your friends.
Yeah.
To play with your friends. That would be the real best way to test it because – well, for the players anyway,
mm-hmm.
because I would be able to say, hey, sit still. I want to run around a little bit and figure out which character I like and, you know, stuff like that. I guess when the game comes out, we can do that. But still, yeah. I still think it's really cheeky. It's so cheeky of Nintendo to be putting out these online, necessary online games, and they're doing it for free for now, and then as soon as all these games are out, we're going to have to pay for it. Especially when they just announced earlier today the headset for Splatoon 2 and the concoction, the absolute cluster of – and I'm trying not to curse as much as I want to when I talk about this headset, and it's not on purpose. But – it is a disaster. It's not ugly. I don't think it's ugly. And I'm used to wires being everywhere. But you are plugging a headset into your phone or a headset into a box which splits and goes from the box to your Switch and to your phone.
This is a headset?
This is how you talk to your team.
Huh.
There is no reason for this. I mean, obviously they want to figure out a way to get the game audio in your headset, I guess, and also be able to team chat, but
who needs this game audio? We're trying to win a match.
This is their solution to a problem that they created, and I think that's pretty, it's a very middle of the line solution. At this point, people are just going to use Discord. and say, you know, forget it. But the headset looks kind of cool, I guess. The little box that you plug into, it looks like the a squid. So, I mean, it's well designed. Oh. It's well, I don't want to say designed because that includes, you know, all the connecting into this, that, the other thing, and up, down, left, and right.
It's
easy on
the eyes, but it's not practical.
Yeah, yeah, it's sleek looking, but it's definitely not practical at all.
It's all form, no function.
Yeah, I mean, I would say. That brings us to the end of our topic of discussion, unless you have anything else to add.
No, it's just to talk about real hype for a second.
Oh boy, here we go. Are we going back to the hype? Okay. Because I can't handle that. It's entirely too sweaty in this room.
I'm getting heart palpitations. It's fine. We got this.
I have to shut my AC to do this show. Yeah, so I know. Yeah.
I have a fresh pair of undies right here to change into when the time comes. In terms of actual hype, this game is like my next must-have for the Switch. I think it's like I will put aside all other games to play ARMS for like a really long period of time, I feel.
I mean, I hope I do. I have a lot of crazy stuff going on right now, so I don't know if I'm going to have the cash in the summer to pick up games that I wouldn't normally pick up. I have to focus on the games that I have and whatever games I'm given to review.
Hint, Nintendo, if you're listening.
Yeah, hint, hint, Nintendo. I'm clearly the best voice of all Nintendo podcasts. Yes. I'm clearly the most qualified. I completely ignored you from 2006 to 2017. Okay. As a company.
Who better?
There's no one better. I coordinate my money hat, which is a literal money hat. I just realized that. It's a money hat. It's a hat.
And you're wearing a DuckTales shirt.
And I'm wearing a DuckTales shirt. To celebrate
NES games of all time, DuckTales. Yes.
Woo! Do. Anyway,
would not be my pick for the week. I'm just saying when I say it right now. That would be funny though.
So yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I hope that I'll be able to pick it up. Although I wouldn't lose sleep if I don't. But definitely something I will pick up down the line at some point. But it might not be a launch day type thing for me, especially when the servers aren't going to work anyway. That brings us to the Retro Game Club.
We need themes for all the segments, Steven. Theme for news, theme for that, theme for the other
one. This is going to be a lot of editing, and I'm only just now getting somewhat proficient at the editing.
Better way to learn than to just throw yourself right into the whole mess and just make a go of it, see what happens.
I wish you could be a fly on the wall.
While you're doing the work?
While I'm trying to do the video editing. And I learned on a Mac with Final Cut Pro 5. So, like, three versions ago. Mm-hmm. I had this old 2005 Power Mac. I would do my editing. It was tough for me to learn, but I did it. And I did YouTube videos for, like, 2.5 years. And it was easy for me. Now I have my PC, and I'm like, all right, well, let me get something. So I get Premiere. And it looks the same, but everything's called something different. And I'm trying – all I want to do, Andy, is put our video, because we record separate video, and make it like a PTI-type show where we each have our own little screen and we do our show. It's not that critical.
It sounds really simple, you would think.
Can't figure it out.
For Final Cut.
But I will. I'm going to spend a day, maybe this weekend – not a day, obviously, but I'm going to spend some time this weekend watching some YouTube tutorials on how to do some certain stuff.
If you weren't test punching,
you would have if I wasn't test, yes, I think I tend to agree with you. Right. If I wasn't testing the punches, that would be definitely something I would have been doing. So the Retro Game Club.
Retro Game Club.
Welcome back to the Retro Game Club. The Retro Game Club is brought to you by one of our sponsors, Extra Life. Proven Gamer is a part of Extra Life, a charity organization dedicated to raising money for the Children's Miracle Network. Extra Life has raised more and more money year over year, and last year raised over $9.1 million.
So much money.
Yes. Our team is looking to raise money for that. Tricky from Trophy Whores and Proven Gamer. He's also he's the dude that runs the place. He streams for Extra Life from 1 to 3 a.m. on early Sunday morning. So Saturday, he does the overnight. And I try to join him. This week I played for an hour with him. We played, share played with me, Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. And we had some fun. We were collecting, you know, we're trying to platinum that game for Extra Life. You can support our team. If you go to provinggamer.com, there is a Extra Life link right there on the homepage. You could click donate, donate a couple bucks to Extra Life. You could also make your own team if that's something you want to do. That you're more than welcome to do that. If it is a competition, it's literally the healthiest competition you will be a part of. So the Retro Game Club, what we do here at the Retro Game Club is each one of us will assign a game. We will play that game in the week between episodes, and then we will discuss that game. And it is a retro game. This week, hang on, let me find it. It's on my desk somewhere. The game that we chose, which I actually had somebody ask me today, said today that they were excited for the next one. It was the Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, I did have difficulty getting it working, but I did play for a few hours here. I downloaded an emulator on my phone. That's how I played it. It's not the best way to play it, but it definitely worked. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I ever played this game without save states, mid-level save states. But I want to open the floor to you, Andy, as you have told me. You've been playing for a few, at least a week, as far as what I can tell.
I have.
So what do you got? What do you think of this? It's a classic. I will say it's a classic, although it's not as not as remembered for being one of the best of the Zelda. Like, Zelda has a lot of great iterations, and this is typically not in your top five, let's say. Yeah. So what do you think of the Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link?
So Adventure of Link was actually the first game that exposed me to the Zelda franchise when I was a kid. And looking back on it, I remember when I played the original Legend of Zelda for the first time, that felt weird to me. The whole the top-down view. Because games like Castlevania and Mega Man, the whole side-scrolling aspect, I was more comfortable with that sort of setup.
Okay.
So when Link 2 came into my life, it just felt familiar and comfortable when I first played it.
The smartest thing they did was on the cart, they put the Zelda 2 part kind of small.
Yeah.
And it was just The Adventure of Link. So if you didn't know that this was a sequel, it wouldn't have even felt like a sequel.
So going back after, I would say, maybe like 15 plus years since I last played this game, the soundtrack still holds up, first of all. I mean, all those old tunes were like, they just came like roaring back to me.
Yeah.
And the game is still hard as fuck. I'm not gonna lie. The game is still
hard.
Challenging. After the first palace, you fight that horse.
Horseman. Yeah, horse. Yeah. Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
Horseface guy. Yeah.
BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
The fuck that show is on Netflix. after that part, the game kind of gets to the whole other realm of difficulty, because that's like having candles and in the cave, and it's dark and there's experience and there's all these layers to the game that I forgot were even there going back all this time. Like, after you have to get magic and first of all, those are whorehouses, right? When you refill your health in the towns.
Those
have to be whorehouses.
Hello, I can help you. Come inside.
Yeah.
I could refill your health.
As I lock the door.
Boing.
Yeah.
So, everybody gave shit to Grand Theft Auto, but Link was doing it first.
Hand on her hip kind of pose. She's like, just like sashing up and down the, side of the building. Trying to find our next customer. But yeah, the game is still hard as hell. I think I got to the third palace where you fight the knight on the horse. You have to use that down thrust move to knock him off the horse, and you have to fight him like hand to hand combat. And those fucking knights and their shields, like, you know, you go up and they go up and you go down, they go down. You know,
what's your way of getting them? Because I found that
to spam them.
The way that I did it was I would back away from them, and as he's coming at me, I would jump towards him and swing in the air, and I would hit him in his head, but then I would have to jump back really quick, because otherwise he would get me. That was the only way I could do it. I actually was able to fool one of them. There was an elevator, and what I did was I went up halfway in the elevator, and he would continue going forward, and his head was hitting the bottom of the elevator, so he was kind of getting stuck. And as long as I tapped down slightly and swung, the elevator would go down only a little bit, and I would swing and hit him in the head. So I cheesed this guy for a little bit, and then that kill actually leveled me up, which I completely forgot was a thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't know what that meter was in the top right.
No, me either. I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, it was fractions are hard. Yeah. Why is the fraction getting wholer? But yeah, and then one of the things I don't like about the leveling up is that it chooses for you what you want to level up, at least as far as what you know my brain can tell. So that's a little funky, because I would like to, if I could put my XP into health earlier on, it would benefit the rest of the game.
Yeah, because magic, at least in the beginning, isn't as a valuable tool.
No, because you only get like shield in the beginning, which doesn't even do anything.
No, it never did. I mean,
it changes your garb to red.
Yep, jump was the main game changer in that game. When you get jump, the whole game opens up entirely. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, and then you can go up on top of things. You can avoid enemies. I mean the combat, as difficult as it is rewarding when you do defeat what you're trying to defeat. I don't like that a lot of the NPCs are completely useless. Like, you can't even, I mean, besides just the one line, you know, I am error, just like random one-liners, like, daddy not home, papa.
Isn't there like a blob enemy in a house, if I recall correctly?
It has
like a dot 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 dialogue when you go to it.
Yeah, that's. I don't know how. I think that's like the third village you go to. Fourth, because there's the one in the mountain range, which you go through this little mountain town, and you don't really get anything. I guess you get power. I think there's like one power sitting somewhere, but then somebody says, "Hey, if you're going south,
hey, listen."
And they're like, hey, listen, you. If you're going south, make sure you have a candle.
Make sure you have this candle.
And that was the entire purpose of that entire town, was to tell me that I can't go south without a candle.
Without a fucking candle.
But yeah, I agree with you on the music thing. The music is so awesome. I love how they took the Legend of Zelda theme and then morphed it into its own song. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. I don't know. It's awesome.
And we have a full-blown intro, like, story crawl sequence in this game as well.
Yeah.
Which I forgot about.
Yeah.
I always skipped it after the first time because it was so useless.
Yeah, she got all put asleep and stuff.
Yeah.
And when you die, it's like, that's it, Ganon's awake.
I'm like, she's Ganon lives or something.
Ganon.
Like, oh, she's right there. Why can't I just pick her up and save her? She's right back over there.
That was always weird for me as a kid. I always felt like I had to go back to her.
Yeah, because, like, she's that castle, just hanging
out. Oh, she's so vulnerable.
Yeah. I got, like, a weird Shadow of the Colossus vibe. I was like, this seems familiar.
Yes,
because it's, like, the same. She's sleeping, and I have to, like, do shit to, like, wake her up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Yeah, I was just, like, poking around with it. Okay, I could go left, or I can go right, or I could just stay here and not let anybody eat the princess.
Yes.
So that was last week's assignment. Mm-hmm. Andy, what is your assignment
actually, I would say it's cut from the same cloth as Legend of Zelda.
Ooh.
It's a game series that was very short-lived, that only had two installments on the Nintendo, one which came very late in Nintendo's life cycle.
Oh my.
I would say, due to the SNES, this game kind of got lost in the shuffle of that console's release.
Okay.
And I would love to see a new installment. It will never happen in a million years, but hey, you never know with the Switch. It's a little game starring a character named Mike Jones.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's 10 o'clock and the man on his bicycle just went by.
Oh, shit.
Continue.
Throw some fireworks at him. He has attention. So it's a game starring a character named Mike Jones, who goes to a place called Sea Island looking for his missing uncle, Mike. Hold on, Mike. Mike's the main character. I mean, uncle, whatever the fuck his uncle's name is. I forget the uncle's name.
Uncle Rico.
Yes.
Bet you I could throw that football over those mountains.
Is it just Dr. Jones? Yeah, it's Doc Jones. Yeah, so his uncle is missing. He gets a letter saying, hey, come to the island to come, you know, I'm not missing. Come help me, yada, yada. Star Tropics is the name of the game.
I have heard of Star Tropics. I have not played Star.
Oh my god, Steven, you're missing out.
I have not played Star Tropics.
I would say it's a Zelda like game in a more modern, less fantasy setting. Like you're in a tropical island and you meet like, you know, the locals. And as a whole, it's very story driven as well. A lot of like in-game dialogue and cutscenes from
back. Are there like battles and stuff? Like, what's the battle system?
It's the same. It's like the whole like top-down view. You have a yo-yo as your main weapon, very short range, but you can upgrade as you play the game itself.
I feel like I played this, or I watched some. I feel like I have played this, but I definitely didn't own it.
Amazing, amazing soundtrack. And if you get to a certain point in the game, where you have to get a frequency for your uncle's submarine.
Okay.
It was a really neat trick, because back in the day, like, it was a letter that was in the actual Nintendo box packaging that you had to soak in water to get the code for the game itself.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of Metal Gear Solid that had Meryl's frequency on the back of the box to contact her. So that So that kind of thing where you had to basically... And I got the game.
It's like a meta game.
Yeah, I got the game from a friend of mine when I was younger, so I didn't have like the actual letter to get the frequency. I had to basically go through each combination to get the right frequency. It was like 111, 112, 113, and the code was 747.
Ugh.
So it took me a while to get to that number.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And it was to get the code to his uncle's boat.
Yeah, so basically...
So it's not even like it's not even like the number made sense, because, I mean, a 747 is a 747 airplane or whatever. That makes no sense.
It was setting a frequency for the sub to, like, track something underwater. And that's, like, way late in the game, too. So when I got there, I was like, I'm kind of stuck, and the game was getting really good. What the fuck is at this point? So,
all right, like, well, let's...
It's a guessing game now.
Let's not spoil any more of it in case the listeners or viewers want to play it along so we can discuss it more in depth next week. That was the Retro Game Club, Andy. I think that's an excellent segment. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. That brings us to listener mail. Remember, if you want to be a part of Nintendo Dual Screens, you can email us at nds@provengamer.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on our phone number. It's 330-PROVEN-9. That's 330-776-8369. You can use the SpeakPipe app. You could go to provengamer.com. We have the SpeakPipe little widget that you could click, leave a voicemail. Maybe we'll play it on the show. Who knows? The show and listener mail specifically is brought to you by one of our sponsors, Amazon.com. If you go to Proven Gamer, you will see Amazon links on our website. If you click those links and do your regular shopping, it won't be an extra charge to you or anything like that, but it definitely helps the show and the website tremendously. So if you are going to do your Amazon shopping, if you're still trying to get yourself a Switch, and you find that it's there, go on the website, click our link. It helps us out a lot. We have two little comments. They're not mail, but I posted my the article from last week's topic of discussion, which was the games that from 3DS and Wii U that we would like to see ported over to the Switch. And I got a couple of responses that stood out to me that I think I would like to read on the show, and you know, discuss them. So we got from Jonathan, I could only see them port some games. For example, Star Fox Zero, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, or Mario Maker. Nothing more than that, though. Also, I don't really see much need for buying time, like we had said on the show, for the Switch original games. The first month had Zelda and Snipperclips, and the second month had Mario Kart. Both games can hold people over until ARMS, Splatoon, and Rime. There's even Bomberman, which is a blast, pun intended. Yeah, indeed. Then we have about 4 months until Mario and maybe Fire Emblem, which can be filled with ARMS, Splatoon, and maybe just hope that they can keep it up for 2018. My hopes for 2018 would be first party only, a Star Fox Zero remake, and a Pokemon Stars, so he agreed with the whole Pokemon thing, kind of. Mm-hmm. In March, he would like to see Fire Emblem. May, an Animal Crossing. He, like, maps out the whole year. Mm-hmm. June, a new Pikmin game. September, a Mario Party game. November, Metroid, and a possible, Mii-type party game. That's really all they need to do to fill up 2018 with some good first-party titles without shoving a lot down our throats. Now, one thing is that you're not shoving games down throats when they don't get games to begin with. Anything is good when you're comparing it to the Wii U and the GameCube. Oh, and, yeah. That's, you know, for sure. And I want to say Nintendo 64 as well, but that was less so the case. My only thing is that these aren't games that I think they will do. They were games that I think they should do if their game plan is to keep games coming while they're working on the brand new first party games. So the games that I was talking about are really for like the first 3 years of the life cycle, because we do know that they can take forever to make a new Star Fox game or a new Pikmin game or not a new Mario. They're pretty good at pumping those out. Metroid, they skip generations usually when they're making a Metroid game. So, thank you very much, Jonathan, for your comment. Do you have anything to add to that comment?
I mean, I kind of agree with him in the sense that there's enough coming down the pipeline that having rehashes isn't a necessity. But then again, a lot of folks didn't play the Wii U. So bringing some of those older games into a fresher, a bit more popular console isn't the worst idea in the world.
Right, and to my other point was that I feel like they can't have these two handhelds out. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can't have the 3DS compete with the Switch because the developers are going to develop for the system that has more install if they're going to be making a portable game. So my whole thing was, if you take the popular portable games from the 3DS, put them on the Switch, those developers now that made those games will now have something on the Switch to test the waters, to get people playing their games. That way, if and when the 3DS does go out, we don't have to wait for those companies to make new Switch games, because they will have already had an install. They already had their foot in the shallow end of the pool, if you will. Johnny Vinyl from Co-op Toward Hatred. This is a YouTube channel that it's actually pretty cool. They do a lot of cool stuff. But he actually commented on the article and said that he'd like to see Kid Icarus Uprising on Switch. He never played it, so he would like to see that. Again, going to your point, people that haven't played games. Mm-hmm. He would like the entirety of the Mario and Luigi series, as well as the Mario versus Donkey Kong series.
You're asking for a lot there, Johnny Vinyl.
You're asking for a lot, but you can't disagree, really.
No. Especially to the tune of Kid Icarus. That was an early 3DS game, from what I remember. So seeing it like remastered for a Switch is not a bad idea at all. I like that a lot. That's a great idea. And I have it, didn't finish it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's sad. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our show.
Aww, we're at the end, Steven.
This is it. This is the swan song of episode 3. Andy, why don't you start us off with the little sign-off?
So if you like our podcast here at Proven Gamer, we have more than just dual screens. We also offer a comprehensive podcast on pro wrestling known as the Smart Marks. And, of course, the always mentioned Trophy Horse, which Steven is on from time to time. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and other various podcast apps. So please check us out on those formats and subscribe, like, all that great stuff. And once again, thank you for our sponsors, Amazon and Extra Life. One more time, you guys are great. Keep us going. And Steve, any final thoughts, remarks?
We also want to throw a special thanks to Zazu Pitts and Sour Note Productions. They are the creators of our theme song. We will be thanking you every episode. The name of the song is 8-Bit Attack. It's fantastic. A new special thanks to Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines. That is another podcast. He's a friend of mine. Grew up with him in the bowling alley, and he made our logos. Came in the clutch. And so if you want a cool podcast, what his podcast is, and he didn't ask me to do this. I asked him for his help. Told him what it was for. He said, "Oh, I do a podcast too." Said, "What is it called? Whatever." And I listened to the last episode, and it's Dan and two of his friends, and it's a great show. What they do is it's a bi-weekly show, and they assign an indie game, and they play that indie game for 2 weeks, and then they come back and discuss it. Kind of like a book club, and they just celebrated their 25th episode, so it's basically a year that they've been doing this. And they give out little awards and stuff to like the best of and the worst of and like fun little awards. My favorite award from episode 25 was the what was it called? It was the Latinum Pterodactyl Award. Latinum Pterodactyl Award because the P is silent.
Oh, God.
The Latinum Pterodactyl Award. I like that. I thought that was clever. Anyway, thank you very much, Dan, our logo. I want to also thank the people at Proven Gamer for hosting our podcast and allowing us to do this podcast. If you want to join the Proven Gamer team, we are always looking for help. We are looking for writers, podcasters, video editors. Say that twice.
Yeah.
News reporters.
Underline it.
Editorials, whatever you can do. You could also follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/provinggamer. Thank you very, very much, Andy, for joining me. As always, I appreciate producing the show with you. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Thank you very much to everybody for listening, and happy gaming.